The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. The day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, we are recording this episode, although I don't know how much Black Friday action there's going to be this year. Sorry, you can't stampede your way into a Walmart, what with COVID and all, but Cyber Monday should be fun. Anyway, I hope you guys all had a good Thanksgiving. I'm joined, of course, by the king of the caulks, the fire, Robbie Bernstein. How are you, sir? How was your Thanksgiving?
Dude, I had a great Thanksgiving.
Very good.
Three indoor meals. I was driving around town all hammered. Fucking freedom, baby.
Yeah.
But not wonderful. Biden's America yet.
You're aware drunk driving was always illegal, Rob. This is not a new
not while Trump's in office. Freedom. Get out there. Have fun. See your family. Throw the mass out.
I like just arguing that point. You go, I'm pretty sure until January 20th, we're still allowed to drunk drive. And you're like, that was nowhere in Trump's platform. You're like, I think you need to look that up. Thanksgiving. I had a great Thanksgiving as well. Would you hang out with the family?
I started off with the family. Then I had some of my friends were back in town. So I was just hopping around meal to meal, slinging some shots. It was great.
Oh, wow. That's fucking great. I know, Rob, you have an ability to pack food away. That's impressive. I remember
I always remember, what was it?
We were at that cheesesteak place and they closed down, I think that 99 miles to Philly place. And there was a burger joint next door. And me and you just packed away cheesesteaks. And then you go, let's go next door and get burgers. And I was like, what? Like, what?
How like, are we overeating or what? Well, what's going on here, Dave?
I couldn't possibly make myself go have, but that's rough. So it bounced around to multiple Thanksgiving. Wow. You are not only violating the COVID rules, but you're just violating regular norms. And I'll tell you, I respect it. I respect it very much. I'm proud of you. I just did more of a tradition. I only had one Thanksgiving meal, but man, was it excellent. My wife's family is Italian. So there are some real benefits to marrying into an Italian family. And the food is one of them. They are. I mean, if the police came by and saw the amount of food that was prepared, they would arrest all of us. And I couldn't even argue with them. Like, they'd be like, okay, clearly 200 people minimum are coming over to your home for Thanksgiving. But it was just us. But oof, delicious, delicious food. Still got a ton left over. I'm excited. I love the leftovers of Thanksgiving. Love a nice hot open turkey sandwich. Let's get a little chewy with this thing. All right. Anyway, I hope that everybody out there had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you got to spend some time with your family. I know it's been a challenging year for a lot of people. So hopefully, you know, spending good quality time with your family, drinking, arguing, eating a lot. What's more important in life than all of that shit? Well, the other thing that comes right after it is correcting the Libertarian Party when they have shit messaging. That's where
Which
my priorities
all of them
are.
Now.
Which is a shockingly large percentage of it. And, you know, I do it with love to the Libertarian Party. I just, come on, man. You guys are a party that represents this beautiful philosophy, and you're constantly making yourself a joke. And I can't help myself. I'm going to try to correct the problem where I see it. So I had a little dust up with the Libertarian Party types and some other low status libertarians on Twitter. This was, I think it was the day before Thanksgiving, and then continued slightly on Thanksgiving. Although I tried not to Twitter argue on Thanksgiving. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to spend the day with my girls and enjoy it. Anyway, so here, I'll just tell you what happened. Here's the tweet. And it really does. It's a great example of everything that's wrong with the messaging from the Libertarian Party, which is really, I mean, you know, what the Libertarian Party should be about, in my opinion, particularly in the national races. But just in general, I mean, I'm not saying that the Libertarian Party shouldn't try to get people elected. Of course, they should. But if we're being honest about the actual levels of success that they have in terms of getting people elected, it's fairly minimal. So the messaging is pretty important. If you really want to start really getting people elected or really doing something important, you're probably going to have to convince a lot more people that libertarianism is the way to go. And so anyway, messaging is very, very important. I don't think, I don't see how honestly people could argue that. So what I tweeted was this. I'll give you my tweet first, and then the tweet that I'm responding to, because it kind of plays well that way. So I tweeted, the state is literally banning normal people from having dinner with their families. What a perfect time for a message of freedom. Libertarian Party. And then tweeted what they say. So this is my point is that we're actually in a situation where the government is telling people that they can't have a normal Thanksgiving dinner, that they can't travel, that they can't have more than a certain amount of people. It can't be over 2 hours. It can't be indoors, basically banning Thanksgiving as we know it. Here's the Libertarian Party's tweet. Thanksgiving was first celebrated by undocumented immigrants seeking political freedom. What are you thankful for? And then they show a picture of their plank on immigration. So they took it as an opportunity to push open borders, and how the first immigrants, I guess the pilgrims, were undocumented immigrants. And look, I'll say this, the typical loser brigade, you know, group of people who are these incredibly deranged, low status men, all white men, by the way, who, you know, just tweet at me every single day, respond to everything I say in the most, you know, insane, idiotic way. They jumped in on it. A few other people did. I'll just say, I don't think there's any confusion over what I'm saying here. There have been times in the past where people, where I've said something and people took it the wrong way. And I've said, you know what? I think this is a little bit on me. I think maybe I didn't make clear what I was trying to say here. This is not one of those times. It's obvious what I'm trying to say. And what I'm trying to say is that there is a real issue right now that is affecting a huge portion of regular people in this country. That is an issue of freedom, if ever there was one. The government cracking down, not just like on illegal immigration or on drugs or something like that, something that is, you know, illegal, whether we like it or not, that is illegal activity and is viewed by most people as not, you know, good. This is the government cracking down on what is perfectly legal activity and just normal people. It's the most normal thing you could do, having dinner with your family, celebrating a holiday. That's pretty obviously my point. Why would you not take the opportunity to have the tiniest bit of courage and say, we're against this and we're for your freedom to celebrate your holiday, take your own risks as you see fit. Instead, you take this opportunity to pander in the dumbest way. The absolute dumbest way, a message that will only appeal to, like, I don't know, I guess some gender studies professor or the woke libertarian idiots who never reach anybody. I guess maybe they'll like this. But honestly, even if you wanted to make the open borders argument, like even if that's what you want to make, could you think of a dumber way to make it? A dumber example. First off, if you're saying that the original settlers on Thanksgiving were undocumented immigrants, most people would just roll their eyes at that. because it's fucking retarded. It's just a really stupid argument. Like, no, they weren't. I'm sorry. They weren't undocumented immigrants. That's a dumb way. The only people who like this are like, you know, I don't know, some group of left-wing people who like to say things like that because they think it leads into an argument about how, see, you'd be a hypocrite if you were against immigration today because they were undocumented immigrants. And the only reason why narratives like this survive are because most of these lefties are in environments that are echo chambers where they're all left-wing people and nobody's pushing back on them. And so they just say these things. But to any thinking person, to describe the fucking those settlers as undocumented immigrants is stupid. It's stupid because they weren't immigrating to the Native Americans' society. They were attempting to settle their own society. They weren't undocumented immigrants. There was no system of documentation for immigration. It's like, what are we talking about here? This is just so stupid. It's insulting to people. It's that stupid. And it makes most people roll their eyes at you and think that you're a joke, which Libertarian Party, if you haven't noticed, there's a bit of a problem with that. Now, look, if you could make an argument, I'm not saying it's smart or good messaging, but you could make an argument that these people were invaders, that they were criminals, that they were aggressors, that they, you know, they may have wanted to settle a land, but that land was already inhabited. They you know, brought a lot of damage onto the people here. That's fine. You could make any of those arguments. To call them undocumented immigrants is stupid. It's just a stupid point. That's not accurate. The other reason why it's a really stupid example, like a really, really, really stupid example, if you're for open borders, is like, obviously, duh, how did that work out for the domestic population? Not so well, right? Like it brought nothing but disease and war and ultimately exterminated their society and their way of life. Why the fuck? Like, imagine trying to sell the Native Americans on the idea that they should have had open borders. You should have, like, obviously things would have been better for them if they had been able to, say, restrict immigration. So what a stupid, stupid way to try to argue this point. But of course, that's not even really my point, as much as my point is just that, like, this is this stupid, petty virtue signaling when you have such a clear message that's so obvious to you right now, it's baffling. It's like, it's hard to imagine that they're not intentionally trying to do this, like intentionally trying to make themselves a joke. So I thought that was pretty obviously what my point was. But of course that's, some people,
We were slamming George Jorgensen because she stunk, and we said from the very outset that it was a losing strategy, and not just a losing strategy, but it was offensive to us because they were bringing in the worst element of the left, and in some way, in my opinion, legitimizing it and making it a part of our precious party. But it turns out that they, even with their stupidity, they managed to, from what I've read, take more votes from Trump than they did from Biden. They managed to attract more of the right than they did the left, even while flouting the stupidity, because guess what? More of the right was just like, fuck Trump, I want to vote for somebody else, which is why are, like, there's so many beautiful things that you could be talking about. Open borders does not need to be the top of our party right now.
Well,
there's just so many other things.
Yes, look, it's just flat out stupid, even if you believe in open borders. Like, listen, you would, okay, if someone, like, I believe that heroin should be legal, okay? And if someone pressed me on it, I think I can make a really good argument for why heroin should be legal. Everyone here probably knows the arguments, but more or less you would just be like, look, I mean, heroin has been illegal for over 40 years. We still have a huge problem with it. It's not as if making it illegal stops people who are in this terribly sad, fucked up state in their life from using heroin. And the truth is that it just creates a black market where there's more criminal activity. There's more gang activity. People are getting like dirty shit. It's just a bad situation. And you end up, you know, involving the police. You know, you can make different arguments to different groups that might be persuasive to them. If you're talking to a left-wing group, you might talk about how, you know, like these are, you end up creating a category of victimless nonviolent crimes. You end up having more police interactions, which they're against. If you're talking to a right-wing group, you might talk about the constitutionality of it, or small government versus big intrusive government, personal freedom, things like that. But whatever, you make the argument. Now, if I'm running a political organization, or if I was running a campaign, I probably wouldn't just go, this campaign is about legalizing heroin. You know, because you probably don't lead with something that's like fairly unpopular and sounds kind of crazy to people. Even if you're for it, you got to be a little bit strategic about this. This is what messaging is all about, okay? Likewise, pre-COVID, open borders polled at under 20%. Over 80% of people do not like open borders, think it is batshit crazy and an awful idea. That's and now you're talking during a pandemic. So it's safe to say this is a fairly unpopular position. It's also not as relevant to the holiday right now that the government is attempting to ban, bully people out of, and perhaps enforce. I mean, a lot of police, you know, like sheriff's departments and things like that have said they won't enforce it, and the governors are furious at them for that. So maybe it didn't actually end up getting enforced yesterday, but only because the politicians were unable to. They were actually pretty pissed off at their thugs for not enforcing it. So anyway, it's just on every level, even if you're for it, it's just stupid messaging. And also, just to make a point, and again, I'm not saying, as some people intentionally misrepresent my point to be, I'm not saying that if something gets more likes on Twitter, that means that it's right, okay? But just as Spike Cohen, when he was on my show, said that they use this as a metric to determine how popular certain ideas are, it's interesting, right? So the Libertarian Party has their Twitter handle has 210,000 followers. Now I have about 84,000 followers, okay? Their tweet got 759 likes, and my tweet got just under 3,000 likes. So almost four times as many tweets with a handle that has less than half the amount of followers that they have. You'd think that might be some type of indication that the message you're putting out there doesn't really resonate that well, and the message that, and me criticizing you, seems to resonate with a lot more people. Just saying, it's kind of an important thing to notice. It's the same problem with the people who run social media for the Libertarian Party and with Joe Jorgensen and Spike Cohen. Their social media people are incredibly tone deaf. And that's a real problem when your job is the social media messaging and outreach. You need to not be tone deaf, and you need to understand what like regular Americans, you know, feelings actually are on this topic. And it's just, I don't know. It's just so fucking obvious. So anyway, what people jumped on about this tweet, right? It was the typical deranged loser brigade people, whatever, who cares? They are what they are. But then there was this guy, Archie Flower. Never trust a man named Flower. That's a rule of life. So I didn't know who he was at first. And then I remembered as I was going through and I checked on it. And this is the guy. So what he jumped on was that I said, the state is literally banning normal people from having dinner with their families. What a perfect time for a message of freedom, Libertarian Party. And then that retweeted their tweet. And what he took my tweet to mean is that immigrants aren't normal. I swear to God, I could not be making this shit up. And he's been harping on it for days now. All Thanksgiving long was tweeting me all day long. So why are you saying immigrants aren't normal people? And a million people are like correcting him in the comments. Like, that's not, what? Who would take this from it? But this is what he's sticking on. That was, why would you say normal people? Are you saying some people aren't normal? And you're contrasting that with immigrants. And it's like, no. First off, I wasn't contrasting it with anything. I was just saying normal people are under, you know, I suppose the contrast would be between like normal people and I don't know, you know, if you had like a law against heroin, which again, I oppose, I wouldn't really say normal people are using heroin. Nothing against them. I don't find it to be that insulting. I'm not such a weak politically correct person that I'd go like, well, you can't say they're not normal. By the way, I don't think comedians are normal. If somebody were to say, comedians are just like normal people, I would correct them and be like, no, they're not. You haven't met a lot of comedians. We're not normal people. I don't really think libertarians are normal people. I mean, I don't know. This is why we talk about, you know, communicating with the normies. It's anyway. But what I guess what the contrast would be between normal people and people who this dumbass message resonates with, which are not normal people. Normal people have dinner with their family on Thanksgiving. Not normal people go, yeah, Thanksgiving is a celebration of undocumented immigrants. That's what I'm talking about. By the way, just back to our earlier point that we made. Now, this is a point that Julie Borowski made, which is a very good point. She goes, no matter what your concern with the Libertarian Party is, if it was about getting more votes or if it was about, you know, just spreading the message, you're probably better off not just targeting the left to the detriment of your messaging to the right. Because the truth is that even if you convince the left to vote third party, well, what do you have to deal with then? There's a Green Party, which is basically has all the shit they agree with us on, plus they're better from their perspective on all the shit that they don't like about us. Like, oh yeah, there's a party that's also against war and the drug war, but wants universal healthcare and environmentalism and, or whatever else. So this Archie Flower guy. kind of has that look to him, though. He left the Mises Caucus because of a meme that was posted in the Libertarian Mises Caucus Facebook group. And I remember when this happened, and I chatted briefly with Michael Heiss about it. And he was like calling and texting Michael Heiss. By the way, I saw this meme. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was harmless. It was just the most harmless meme, like making fun of woke shit. And he's calling Michael Heiss and he's like, this is an outrage. You need to kick this person out and you need to leave. And Michael Heiss just didn't respond to his phone calls and eventually texted him just like, dude, I don't care. I don't care. And anyway, so this is the same guy who's freaking out that I used the word normal. Normal now. Yeah, you're not allowed to say something's normal and something's not normal. Oh my God. It's just, look, man, I don't know what to say to some of these just incredibly weak men who are actually get their panties in a bunch over someone using the word normal when referring to people having dinner for Thanksgiving with their family. I don't know what to say. That now this guy, by the way, the only reason I mention him is because he is, I guess, the chair of a state Libertarian Party in Vermont. So it's not just some rando, you know, on the internet, but this is the problem with the Libertarian Party. It is permeated by these very weak men. Now, I don't care. You guys can have your role in the party. I mean, look, even if you're looking for a revolution, there might be a role for weak men like Archie Flower. I mean, maybe he should be collecting signatures somewhere or doing something in an office, filing some papers, whatever it is that he does over in Vermont. That's fine. You know, there's a role for that. But don't get in the way of people who are brave enough to take on this fight. That's all I ask of you. Just stay in your lane, and that's fine. But don't come over to me with the, you know, you really shouldn't have said normal because you're implying that immigrants are abnormal, which is not at all what I was implying. Just fucking stay out of the way. If you ever want to actually take on the entrenched power of the state, you're going to need some men who aren't weak. And so let us do our thing while you go do your thing. And that's fine. But don't come at me with this fucking bullshit. And it's like, this is the thing that kind of like, look, I've been a libertarian for a long time. And, you know, what is it, 11, 12 years or something like that. And I've never really dealt with this type of shit as I have in the last year or year and a half or so. And I guess part of it is just that this show really blew up. We became big. We're one of, if not the biggest libertarian ANCAP podcasts out there. And so now we kind of have a target. And then when I moved into the Libertarian Party and started the process of taking that shit over, this is really when some feathers started to get ruffled. But what I want everyone to notice, what's different about me than these people, besides the obvious, you know, strengths of the arguments and overall levels of courage, is that I would, like, here's the difference. And one guy actually tweeted this out the other day when I was arguing with this fellow, that he said, you know, we just want all the Mises Caucus people and the Dave Smith fans out of the party. And that's actually what their mentality is, that they want less people. They want less people in the liberty movement if they're not, you know, weak little woke bitches like them. Okay, you got, we want you all out of here. And it's like, really? That's your goal right now, is to shrink the size of the liberty movement so it can be more pure and you can have more status in it? So this is the real difference between them and me. This is really the difference. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our wonderful sponsor for today's show, which is Amigo. They're a modern bidet brand changing your whole bathroom experience. Washing is so much better than just wiping with toilet paper. Just wiping with toilet paper is gross. You never get truly clean. You can feel a lot fresher. This is something you maybe don't think about. But listen, if you got some dung on your forearm and you wanted to clean it, would you just wipe it with like some dry toilet paper and then be like, I'm good, I'm going on with my day? My guess is you're going to want some water in that situation. This is where a bidet comes in. And Amigo, these aren't your old school bidets. They attach right to your toilet. They're super easy. You don't need to call a plumber. You can do the whole thing yourself. It takes like 15 minutes. I was able to figure it out. And as you guys know, I'm not very bright. It's time to ditch the toilet paper. It's not doing you any favors. Fresh water just cleans better. You need to go check them out at myamigo.com. It's a total game changer. They have a bidet for every toilet, every butt, every budget. myamigo.com/POTP. That'll take 15% off your price today. One more time, go to myamigo.com. That's myomigo.com/POTP. Get 15% off. Get a bidet today. All right, let's get back into the show. I think that, you know, any one of these members of the Loser Brigade, or, you know, even like the people I've been critical of, you know, like Joe and Spike, anyone like them. And I'm only critical of them because I see them, you know, having a golden opportunity and blowing it. But if any of them had done what I've done this month for liberty, you know, like just going on Rogan, if one of them went on a show that that gets 10 million plus people listening to it, you know, and they passionately, precisely laid out what's going on in the war in Yemen and why it's such a humanitarian nightmare and why we have to end it, as I did, to 10 plus million people. If one of them did that, I would fucking salute that person. Even if I hated a lot of other things about them, even if I disagreed with four or five, you know, fucking positions that they took, even if I thought they were like too friendly to people who I thought were bad people, if they did some shit like that, I'd fucking congratulate them for it publicly and privately. And I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to get in this person's way because they're bringing tons of people on board. They're really waking up a lot of people. And that's the most important thing that we can do in this space. With these guys, there's none of that. None, not even like a little bit of like, oh, okay, that was pretty good that you did that. Nothing. And that's why that's why we're taking over this party. The other thing that I just thought was kind of interesting is that the Libertarian Party, they retweeted, and this is what I think gets right at the essence of what people are talking about when they refer to both of these tweets, but what they're referring to when they say, you know, there'll be these people who are like, oh, the Libertarian Party has been taken over by leftists and things like that. And then, you know, like all these kind of people in the Libertarian Party who are those people, they'll be kind of like, well, what are you talking about? I'm not a leftist because I, you know, I'm against Obamacare or I want lower taxes or something like that. So how could I be a leftist? And here's what they're getting at, okay? So Kyle Kulinski, if you don't know who he is, he's a very popular political commentator online. I'm not sure if he's a democratic socialist or not. I think he's close to that. He refers to himself as a left-wing populist in his Twitter bio. He tweeted, by the way, good tweet. He tweeted, someone asked him, what would you do in a lame duck presidency? And he said, legalize weed, pardon all nonviolent drug offenders, and bring home every single U.S. soldier from the Middle East. But I would have done this on day one. So that was his tweet. Good tweet. I like it. And the Libertarian Party retweeted it and said, same. And then, no, by the way, I think that's great. No problem with that whatsoever. But as Tho Bishop, very, very smart guy who I got to get on the podcast, who works at the Mises Institute, as he pointed out on Twitter, he said, isn't it interesting the contrast between how they treat a left-wing populist versus a right-wing populist? You would never see the Libertarian Party retweeting a right-wing populist who is making several points that we agree with them on. In fact, you got all these fucking dork libertarians who got furious at me because when I had Nick Fuentes on and he said he wanted to end the welfare state, end the warfare state, and end the deep state, I believe those were the things he said, and end the Federal Reserve. And I said, you know, that's pretty fucking good. And they're like, ah, look at him. He's complimenting the right populist, you know? And it's like, okay, but why is this okay? And that's not. That's kind of the essence of it. Everything is geared toward pandering to the left, pandering to this group of people who are never going to show up in large numbers for you. It's just not going to happen. It's the dumbest group to spend all of your time pandering to. And this is what they're obsessed with doing. And it's just got to stop. If you want to have any type of successful movement, which I think on some level, even you guys must want. You must want this thing to be more successful. Now, perhaps not. Perhaps not because you realize the more successful this thing gets, the more irrelevant you're going to get. The bigger the pool and the same size fish you are. But you know what? You gotta think about something bigger than yourself. That's all I could say. There'll still be a role for you. There will still be signatures to be gathered or something like that. Anyway, I would just say in conclusion with the LP silliness, for those of you guys who are in the Libertarian Party, if this stuff is disgusting you and you're thinking about walking away, I implore you, don't. Don't walk away right now. It's not the time. Things are about to get really fucking interesting. We have big plans. Let me tell you something. We are 100%. We're taking over this party. This party is going to be ours. And I promise you, within the next year, you'll see all of the stuff that's happening. We got a lot of unbelievable shit planned. Unbelievable. The Mises Caucus right now is somewhere around 40% of the party. We're not that far off from being the majority of the party. We are going to be well over that within the next year, well over that. I promise you guys, this is all going to happen. And this is going to be a really exciting thing, and it'll be the perfect time to have it happen. So don't go anywhere. This stuff doesn't represent most libertarians. It doesn't represent most libertarians in the Libertarian Party, let alone in the Liberty Movement, which is much, much bigger than the Libertarian Party, who I have a feeling a lot of whom are going to flood into the party over the next couple of years. So stay tuned. We got a lot of shit in store, and don't go anywhere. But yeah, I just can't. I can't stop, you know, fucking smacking them when they do something bad. I just, you know, it's fucking, it's frustrating, and it's so obvious when you see how to do this shit so much better. So anyway, okay, there's that. There's my little opening rant on this stuff. Okay, so a couple interesting things that happened over the last couple days. Let's do the Supreme Court first, and then we'll get into the Trump court cases, hearings, whatever. So the Supreme Court, Rob, I know you followed this case. Why don't you intro this next topic, because I've been ranting and I want to vape.
I haven't been able to read the actual document yet, which I will, but in short, the Supreme Court ruled that churches and religious gatherings, the governors have no right to say that they can't do that. Big victory for freedom. I think it was a 5-4 decision. I'm curious to read the laws presented by both sides, especially how people put together a defense to say that governors, that means four people thought that the governors should have the power to do so. No matter what, it's fun seeing Cuomo get a loss. It's fun seeing him have to do a press conference and go, I know that the Supreme Court, but it's the Jews. The Jews, there's so many of them in one place. No one wants this. Surely yeah. The founding fathers didn't realize how many Jews would move here.
Yeah. So they were basically limiting the numbers of people that you could have in, you know, places of worship. And the Supreme Court struck that down, said you have absolutely no right to regulate how many people a church or a synagogue can allow in, or any other religious organization. And yeah, it's I think it's, as you correctly put it, a real win for individual liberty. And let's be honest, we haven't had too many of those this year or this decade, but really this year. And so it's nice. It's really nice to see one of them. And one of the other things that was, you know, you know, obvious about this story. And this is not exactly, you know, comforting to my narrative, but you got to talk about reality and call balls and strikes, is that this was an example of a real difference being made in real people's lives in terms of real liberty because of the Republicans. You can't not acknowledge that this is because Donald Trump got Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court, that because he appointed her and because the Republican Senate confirmed her, that's why these people have this very basic freedom of the freedom to go to a place of worship. You know, that's why they have this. This was a 5-4 decision. If Ruth Bader Ginsburg was that, this would have been a 5-4 decision the other way. No question about it. So this is a real, legitimate, positive consequence of Donald Trump having been president, appointing Amy Coney Barrett, as well as the other two, as well as Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and who all were on the majority side of this, and the Republican Senate. This is actually a consequence of that. And also, I guess, Ruth Bader Ginsburg for dying.
What's not a win for freedom is that it takes this long to us, on like government gets to just impose something that they're not allowed to do, and it will take 6 months until you can get in front of the Supreme Court to say they can't do that. And not only will it take you a 6-month process, you've got to be a powerful enough organization like the church, where you've got money to actually, and the resources to put this in motion, go through all the court cases, and it will take you 6 months.
Yeah.
That's not a win for freedom.
Yeah, and I believe this is a point that you've made previously on the show when we've been discussing the Supreme Court, which is a really excellent point that you've only made like 4 or 5 ever, so I remember them all vividly. No, but you made this point, which is a really excellent point, which is that there's also no restitution after right. something like this happens. Like if you know, any court, you know, if a court determines somehow that I had been violating your basic liberties for the last 6 months, you'd think that there'd be a punishment involved with that, or there'd be something like, yeah, I owe you some type of restitution for that. However, when the Supreme Court comes in and decides that, oh yeah, these state governments have been violating your most basic constitutionally protected rights, it's just like, okay, can't do that anymore. That's it.
Right. And as a theoretical, imagine if like the restaurant unions managed to get this case and like they were to win that case. It's not like government would have to pay them back for having been closed.
Right.
So you got a bad framework where government can just at like, you know, ask first, just act first, assume it's okay. And if it finds out that you're wrong, no harm, no foul. You took away some freedoms for 6 months.
And I'm not even, by the way, advocating that they should be forced to pay restitution. I'm just observing that they're not, and how fucked up this whole system is. One of the major problems with government in general is that there's no one to blame because it doesn't exist.
How about
it's
a
not
timeout?
A real thing. So it's just a group of people who claim this thing. We're the government. And then they get all of their funding by expropriating it from their population. So even if you do force them to pay restitution, you're just punishing the taxpayers more who had nothing to do with it. Like there's never any way to actually get justice from the state, which is incredibly frustrating and just awful and all of these things. But, you know, but it's still worth pointing out that they can just strip people of their basic rights. And then for 6 months they do it. And then the court's like, nope, can't do that anymore. And then it's just like, nope, sorry, that happened to you. There's no sense of justice.
We should at least be able to do petty things like give them a timeout from living in the governor's mansion. Make his daughter go like live up in Canada with the highway boyfriend, send back footage of her getting plowed out. Just fun
like,
stuff.
Yeah. Kavanaugh is going to like shotgun a beer and then kick Cuomo in the shin as hard as he can.
Just
one
something.
Thing. I just want to watch that happen. Like just a nice like fucking chug, jam the key in, open it, chug it down, and then whop right in Cuomo's shin.
There should just be something.
Yes. That's well, what I just proposed is something. So it meets your criteria. So that's what I'm sticking with.
Approved.
The fucking shotgun shin kick. That should be. Wouldn't we all, I mean, it wouldn't do much to change the situation, but wouldn't we all be happier in that world where that could, I know I would anyway, but I'm petty like that. Okay. Yeah. So I thought that was worth talking about. And I did think that, you know, it's hard not to acknowledge, like this is the problem that people who belong to a third party, like myself, that we have to deal with, and people who care about, you know, like ideology and principles and things like that, or philosophy, whatever. The issue is that you're stuck between this point where it's like a lot of people will convince you or attempt to convince you on voting for the lesser of two evils. And there are situations where there's a strong argument for that. I mean, look, I think right now I'm a little bit torn because there have been a lot of Trump supporters who are saying, fuck it for the Georgia Senate elections. The you know, there's like the runoff elections in Georgia. And they're like, fuck you. The GOP hasn't stood up for us. They haven't caught Trump's back. We're not just here to just vote for the GOP, no matter who it is. And there's something about that that I kind of love. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's fucking kind of beautiful, right? Like, yeah, you're not just falling for the Republican establishment. That's not what the people of that's not what the voters wanted. So why the fuck does the Republican establishment always get to keep winning? Like, that's not who the fucking people are supporting. And there's something beautiful about turning against this party establishment, also just because they're so fucking awful. Like, the Republican establishment is, God, just terrible. But on the other hand, you also go, do you really want the Democrats controlling the House, the Senate, and the presidency? I mean, that is going to end up, no question, being worse for the people of this country than if the Republicans are in the Senate right now. So that's kind of a tough position to be in. And I feel that what I feel, you know, that kind of justifies being a member of a third party, even though I didn't vote in this presidential election. But what I feel like justifies it is that you're in a position where it's like, look, both major parties, even someone like Donald Trump, who's completely outside the system and you know, maybe not completely, but is to some degree outside the system and hated by the system and, you know, is somewhat different than the other run-of-the-mill politicians. Even with someone like him in there, both parties have basically accepted what essentially amounts to treason against the American people, both economic, culturally, socially, in every way you could imagine. They have just sold out this country. They both sign off on the idea that we're going to have a Federal Reserve that rapes the American people, that the big bank system, which is all run by government or by government decree, is going to exist, where banks get money for free and then can loan it out to the rest of us plebs and rape us for the fucking interest rates. They've both, both support the warfare state where we're just going to send our brave young men to go bleed and die in these bullshit wars. They've both accepted that we're going to spend our children's generation into horrible debt, put them in these awful situations where basic things like, you know, education and housing and healthcare are completely unaffordable for young people. I mean, they're both going to, you know, prop up this whole fucking system. And it's like, so what are we supposed to do? Just continue to support one or the other? Like, eventually you have to say, no, fuck that. I'm against the people who have committed treason against this country, you know? So that's kind of the argument. But then on the other side, and I just have to admit that there is a legitimate argument to seeing something like this, where you're like, okay, well, at least these people got one little bit of their freedom back. And it is only because the Republicans won. That is the only reason why this happened. And I would be dishonest to not at least acknowledge that. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Cushy Dreams. Cushy Dreams offers a full line of premium smokable CBD. They specialize in extraordinary CBD-rich hemp flower, aka bud, in cans and pre-roll CBD joints. I love this stuff. If you smoke pot and you order a can of this stuff, you're going to open it. It's indistinguishable from the best pot you've ever smoked in your life. It just looks, tastes, feels like the best pot you've ever seen, but it's CBD. So it's not getting you high. It's under 0.3% THC. I love this stuff. I smoke it all the time. Helps me get really great sleep. I smoke it all the time to the point that I've asked them to send me more of the stuff so many times that I feel guilty asking them for more. And I've just been ordering it now. But Cushy Dreams, if you want to send me more for free, I would really appreciate that. You have to go check this stuff out. It's cannabis that ships directly to you. It's legal in all 50 states. Join the men and women who are sick of vapes and gummies and want to smoke their CBD. Now at CushyDreams.com, you can build your own ounce So go check that out. Like I said, this stuff is really high quality. You can tell as soon as you open it. Cushy Dreams has CBD flower and pre-rolled joints. They come in specific indica sativa blends like Relax, Dream, Energy, Hustle, and Peace. Relax. That's my shit. Just saying. Go to cushydreams.com, cushydreams.com. Get some high quality CBD bud. And if you use the promo code POTP at checkout, you're going to get 25% off every order for the rest of 2020. That's higher than our normal discount. So that's cushydreams.com, promo code POTP for 25% off every order for the rest of 2020. It's the best discount out there and it's over soon. Go to cushydreams.com, use the promo code POTP, smoke your CBD because you can. All right, let's get back into the show. All right. Okay, anything else to add about the Supreme Court or you want to move on to the Trump court hearings?
Yeah, I'll have more to say by next week, Monday, because I'm going to read through the whole hearing today. The one thing I know caught my eye even on the first page was that the Supreme Court was putting forward that I guess there are certain situations where the governor would have this power, but this doesn't qualify. Even that just objectively sounds like that's not really what I would have thought in regards to the Constitution. So I'm curious to give it a thorough read. Okay. But yeah, win for freedom. Hopefully we see more of these court cases coming down the pike.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So let's move on to the other thing that we wanted to cover today. Many people have been accepting that, well, Joe Biden's going to be the next president. The entire media is referring to him as the president-elect. The transition seems to have begun. So a lot of Trump supporters even are gritting their teeth and going, fuck, this is, you know, even if they think it was stolen, like they're going to get away with it. Donald Trump had been losing some court cases. I'll say Trump is not done fighting. And there were a couple hearings that where they had some small victories. And it seems like at the very least, we're able to insert some pretty fucking damning evidence, into the cases and into the national conversation in some way. So why don't you tell us about that? There was one in Pennsylvania. Where was the other one?
So I saw there was a Washington Examiner article today saying that they won a court case in Nevada, which is now going to open up the door to more court cases and could lead to, I'm not sure, might lead to a disqualifying of some votes in Nevada and also set court precedent to open up the door to review more court cases and other things. I think just the key takeaway is it sounds like Donald Trump has actually at least won a court case. And so there must be some evidence or at least something going on that it's not just totally getting thrown out of court. The bigger victory is coming in Pennsylvania, which I think we have a video of this, but they won a court case that they're now not certifying the election results in Pennsylvania, which I guess means that there's going to be further reviews. And then I saw this from MSNBC. I think it was MSNBC. But they were saying that Donald Trump's new strategy is that you can go correct me if I'm wrong here, if I don't have this right. I think typically speaking, even if there's a split in the electoral votes for a certain, you know, state, they all go to what it's winner take all for each individual state.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
I believe so.
Okay. So for Pennsylvania, they might get that changed in this election. And basically Donald Trump's electoral votes will go to Donald Trump and Biden's will go to Biden's. Like it's not just going to be winner takes all for the state, which might change the electoral count. Now that's just one strategy in which, and by the way, this was coming from MSNBC that they were saying that Trump was going to do it. The bigger takeaway is that they're starting to win some court cases and that as a result of the evidence, I guess, that they brought forward in Pennsylvania, from what I've seen, the state's not certifying the election results, which means there's going to be further review.
Right, right. Now, one of the things that was really interesting was this clip, which we are about to play, where some evidence was presented. Let's play the clip and then we'll chat about it for
a second. So at the very beginning of the chart where there's a circle, it says on election day, what that indicates is there is a spike in loaded votes, 337,000 plus or minus of some votes that were added in there in one big batch. So that was an anomaly in the reporting. Normally you would expect to see a smooth curve going up, not any uh, not any big spikes. That's kind of what Greg was talking about, the anomalies of loading and uploading those votes. So that big spike that occurs there is a prime indicator of fraudulent voting.
And that's 604,000 votes in 90 minutes, is that right?
Correct. This is 337 votes, 337,000 votes in that,
that period of time.
Yes.
And when you look at this entire curve with all these spikes, can you calculate how much of a vote that accounted for Biden and how much for Trump?
Close to 600,000. I think our figures are about 570,000-some-odd that all those spikes represent over time.
For Biden?
Correct.
And how much for Trump?
I think it was a little over 3,200.
So there's the evidence presented, and you hear a very audible gasp from the entire room. Right? However you feel about this evidence, you have to admit the optics of that were really great for the Trump team.
It almost seems like
team.
They packed the room with people to go, oh my God!
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It seemed like a genuine moment where people were like, wait a minute, holy shit. These numbers just don't seem to add up. Now, I am not enough of an expert in this to really know the details of whether statistically this is possible or what could possibly explain this. I will say that this is a devastating blow to the there's literally zero evidence argument.
I'll tell you why it's particularly devastating is that night of, this was the first piece of information put forward by those contesting the election saying, hey, these dumps don't make any sense. Now they've been saying, hey, it's weeks later and there's zero evidence. Well, actually, before anyone even did any statistical analysis, they looked at the election night of and said, how come there's these dumps that are totally going to Biden? That doesn't make sense. That was the first thing everyone said. This doesn't make sense. You shut down the voting and now you've got these dumps. And then they've been saying there's no court cases, there's no evidence. And this was the first thing that anyone said. That would just seem to suggest to me that in these court cases, there's more of a lag, that most of what we've seen or the evidence that's been produced just hasn't been brought to court. So if this is actually true and being considered evidence, then that means that everything that you've seen in the news that they were saying, hey, there's nothing, there's nothing, there's nothing. This was literally the first thing that people pointed out.
Yeah, if you're going to say there's zero evidence of widespread voter fraud, there's zero evidence of statistical anomalies or anything like that, the issue is that evidence has now been presented in a hearing that they won. So it's just going to be very difficult to say there's zero evidence. Now, difficult to say honestly. Of course, the corporate press will lie, and that's not a problem. But it doesn't seem, at least from what I've looked into this, it doesn't seem that as of yet there's been any major attempt from the corporate press to debunk these claims. I mean, like, I'm open to the idea that, like, no, something else explains why Joe Biden got hundreds of thousands of votes and Donald Trump only got 3,000 in these dumps. But I haven't heard that argument yet, and it doesn't seem like there's even much desire to present it.
That video that I just put up is not that easy to find.
Yeah, I was searching for it and couldn't find it. I was glad you found
it. And if you're looking in, on Google just to find out what just happened in Pennsylvania, not that easy to find stories. Yeah. I'm also curious, just to play devil's advocate here, I'd like to know exactly what that proceeding that I just watched is. Who's the person talking? Is that expert witness brought by Trump? Who are the people? That doesn't look like a courtroom. So who are the people overhearing this? Who's the audience? What other arguments were brought that day? Like, there's a lot of simple questions. There's no reporting on it.
It's unbelievable. It's not even just that there's no reporting on it. It's, as you pointed out, it doesn't show up on Google. You have to know which people on Twitter to follow and which things to even get this. Like, I wouldn't even know this
happened. I got that from your Kratom, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I'm friends with the owner. He called me last night and was like, have you seen this yet? I was like, no, and he sent it over my way.
Oh, you're like, dude, this could be the Kratom talking, but I'm pretty sure I just saw some crazy shit. Well, that is, so this is this is something that's really creepy. I was talking about this on Rogan. This is, seems to be the new strategy. Not just poisoning the well, not just reporting fake news, but straight up, we are going to make sure that people don't see these stories. And this is something that's really, really creepy. I'll tell you from my own bias perspective, what I like about this is that, so I, as I've been saying over the last few episodes, that even if like if Biden is going to be the president, right? Which I would still say, even with all of this, I think this is it's a monumental task ahead of Trump to try to actually get a second term at this point. But even if Joe Biden is going to be the president, then I think, okay, well, now our best shot is that the resistance is really, you know what I mean? Like the fucking anti-Biden, anti-authoritarian, you know, kind of against the lockdowns, against the fucking cronyism, against all this shit. Like that resistance, you know, is somewhat strong. And I think that in order for this to be at its maximum effect, it is necessary that a huge percentage of the population believes that this election was illegitimate and was stolen from Donald Trump. I'm very happy to see a lot of people believe that. And it's funny because in the amongst the corporate press, even amongst like Fox News, Tucker Carlson, people like that, it's assumed as a given, as an a priori truth, that it's bad if people don't have faith in this system. Now, if you are a lover of the current status quo, then I could see where that would make sense to you. But if you're not, I don't understand why that possibly would be a good thing, that people that this system has perceived legitimacy. Why the fuck would any of us who don't believe the system has legitimacy, why, like, if you don't believe this is a legitimate system, why on earth would you want it to have perceived legitimacy? I don't understand that argument for the life of me. I think it's could be really good if there are huge swaths of people in this country who go, no, this whole thing is bullshit. This is not legitimate. This government does not legitimately rule over me. I think it's quite possible that that's the first step in a major awakening. You know, the first step is like to be like, you know, no, everything the government's doing is not legitimate. That is really what separates the government, aside from their level of power. What really separates the government from other criminals is their perceived legitimacy. And so I think it's potentially a really wonderful development if that is evaporating. And so, you know, I'm kind of optimistic about what's happening with all of that stuff. So we will see. It seems like there's some other things that are going to happen here. It's a very short window, so we're going to find out about it pretty soon. But I do think that if you know, it's like the first step is to realize that this isn't legitimate because this election wasn't legitimate. But the more important step after that is to realize that even if the election was legitimate, this isn't legitimate. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter even if more people voted for this. It's still bullshit. And that's, you know, what we can only hope and wish for. Okay, we're going to wrap up there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Robbie, plug your live show.
Dude, New Hampshire, I think I sold that thing out, man. We moved a fair amount of tickets. That's going to be a ton of fun. All libertarian audience. So December 5th, come out to Philly. Run your mouth. I just did an episode with Gene Epstein, which is awesome. So check that out. And Robbie the Fire on Twitter.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back soon. Peace.